Harbaugh, Leila Rahimi, and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got
five on it. All right, question number one on Five on It. Does Bears coach Ben Johnson deserve credit for his handling of, as Dan Weeder wrote in today's edition of the Chicago Tribune, the recent Caleb Williams, quote, mini rumpus?
Mini rumpus? Yes. Yes, he did. I mean, somebody had to say something about it, and for better or for worse, probably for worse, Ben Johnson was the only one willing to bring anything up about Caleb Williams, the thing that everybody had really gathered for, the thing that we were all breathless for, that we all need to know about. Somebody had to say something, and Ben Johnson did a good job beginning the conversation about it. And, you know, I asked the question of, you know, what do you think about from a distance? And even now, the excerpt saying that his father, Caleb Williams' father, Carl Williams, said that this is where Chicago Bears quarterbacks go to die. What do you think about that? He basically looked straight at me and said, I love it. I love it. I love the challenge. Let's rewrite this thing. This is what it's all about. Great stories. And that's a great answer. I think that this is all of what was written by Seth Wickersham, the book that is coming up. He probably called him for an advanced copy of it, because guess what? Out of all the people involved in this one, this was good for Ben Johnson, because it is intelligence for Ben Johnson. It definitely makes Ben Johnson look even better than he already does, because he wasn't around here for any of it, and he could take all of those notes and all of those pages and reverse it, because guess what? Ben Johnson doesn't know everything about Caleb Williams yet. So for me, that is just needed information on his quarterback. So yes, he deserves credit for it. I wish the rest of the organization would have acted accordingly as well and given us a little bit more on it. I wish Caleb Williams would have as well, but Ben Johnson gave us just a little bit of a taste until we do get the opportunity to talk to Caleb Williams.
Grody, I very much appreciated Ben hitting this head on, answering questions about it, but also hitting it before his opening statement was finished on Wednesday, and basically acknowledging, hey, I know this is going to come up. I'm going to be the one to bring it up. I think it let a little bit of tension out of the room. You know how those situations can be. We always compare these guys to their predecessors. Matt Eberflus would have made that back and forth as awkward as it possibly could have been. Man. And we would all left that room, Ben, like, what just happened in there? Ben, to his credit, was very forthright about it, very forward about it, gave his thoughts on it. I did think it was interesting when he was asked if he had talked to Caleb about this particular instance. He said, yes, I have. But Caleb's his own man, and he's going to be treated as such. And then ultimately said that they both want to turn the page. The page can't be completely turned until Caleb speaks on this. So while I give Ben a lot of credit, I'm giving him like a 92%, like an A-, because as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, you could have said to somebody, and maybe he did, hey, why don't we get Caleb out in front of this week, and let's get this page turned today. Let's get it turned permanently right now and not let it drag out into June, which it looks like it will. So I give Ben a lot of credit. He still gets an A.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an A minus, because I would like to take a little bit more proactiveness in getting it behind
me. I'll back you up on that too, because quite frankly, it's minimal competency. Somebody had to address what was going on. You know, it's a little ridiculous that the rest of it was not addressed, but somebody had to say something about it. If he hadn't said something, then we'd be ripping Ben Johnson, probably justifiably. It would have been a C-.
I do think you and I both agree that the energy of the back and forth in the conversation was exactly the right tone and temperature as it needed to be in there. It was fun. It was, you know, it wasn't like ultra serious, and we got to what we needed to get to, and we moved on.
He took follow-ups on it too, even when we got away from it for a little while to talk about other things, but he was able to come back, and then we were able to ask other players about it.
We got
too
to learn about Daniel Hardy in the middle.
What is right? What else we got?
Five on it. Moving on to the Cubs, which Cubs player needs to have a big series to ensure a Cubs series win over the third place Reds?
I'm going to go with Daniel Palencia here.
Oh, I like
Grody.
I
want to go to the mound for this particular question, because I think there's a lot riding on how the Cubs stabilize things in a lot of different departments. You've got a guy trying his hand at closing here, right? And he's had mixed results so far, and you just want to start to feel comfortable about that. For the short term anyway, who knows? We might get into July and the Cubs decide, hey, we're going to go buy one. You know, we're going to buy one for the stretch run and try to get this short up for the postseason. But that's the name that popped to the front of mind. I think Ben Brown's another good answer where you're looking for that good start on the weekend. I'll also just give you a little bit of a Matthew Boyd answer just because I've loved how steady he's been for
them.
Dude,
you're taking all the answers. What are you doing over there?
My number one answer is Palencia because you just want to see how this whole experiment evolves.
I love that. And I'll just say, I add on the Daniel Palencia conversation. I think it was the first time in maybe ever in my life watching a Cubs game in the, I guess it was the Monday game, that wild Monday game that Cubs lost to the Marlins 8-7. First time that I've actually ever felt bad for a Cubs closer or a White Sox closer blowing the save. And he did blow it, but he's throwing 101 miles per hour, gets the first two outs, and then the game gets, you know, Hadavi comes out and talks to him. The game gets away from him. So I actually felt awful for him in that moment. And then conversely, felt great for him in the game the other day, 2 days ago, where he saved the damn game.
Right.
So I do like the Palencia answer. I am going to say Matt Shaw. Keep it going. Now you're going on the road here. You're going to a place which is a hitter's ballpark. Trust me, I was in that ballpark tons of times. It is fun to watch baseball in that ballpark, and the Cubs have had some good times there. But guess what? Matt Shaw, good, been really good since he has come back. And he was on the road, obviously, in Miami. I want to see that continue. I also want to see his defense continue to progress because that's still a little bit – I don't feel completely confident still when balls are hit his way.
But you have a little bit more comfort about the third base position than maybe you had 10 days ago, right? Like all of a sudden.
And Dan, that's why that's my answer, because it's just still so important to get that position right. Wouldn't it be nice to not have to, again, talk about going out and getting a third baseman? I hate that conversation started up. Matt Shaw is back. He needs to have a big series offensively and defensively. Five
on it. The Cubs in a potential future All-Star game at Wrigley Field in 2027 was in the news yesterday thanks to our good friend Bruce Levine. I love Bruce Levine.
He's a great friend. Yeah.
He is the best. Mm-hmm. But let's focus on this season. Based on the 50 games the Cubs have played so far, which players deserved to go to this year's All-Star game?
Okay. Pete Crow Armstrong, yes. Kyle Tucker, that is a yes. Who else? You know what, man? I'd have to look at the other shortstops, like what kind of relativity there is. But Dansby Swanson, maybe he is an All-Star. And is there anybody else here that I'm thinking about? No, that's it. I'm going to go with those three guys. And maybe honorable mention to my guy, Seiya Suzuki.
Depending on what happens in Cincinnati, I'm going to go with Daniel Palencia. No, just kidding.
This guy with the Palencia.
I'm glad you brought Suzuki up at the end because I think the entire outfield deserves recognition for what they've done here through the first 2 months of the season. Yeah. Suzuki, I think, is second in the major leagues right now in RBI. This is a guy that has put the ball out of the park at a pretty good rate here through the first 2 months of the season. So you talk about Tucker, PCA, and Seiya, and you're like, okay, like you're dealing with something there. They're all worthy of the recognition they've got. As you know, I was at the first two games of the White Sox series last week. Watching PCA run live is such a spectacle, right? Like you put one out in the right field and you're like, wait a second, how is he at second base already? Right. Now he's going to it's a show. I mean, it's literally a show. The season he's had to this point has been absolutely eye-opening.
Who are we missing?
I think there's one name you guys are definitely missing, and he's at the catcher spot, and his name would be Carson Kelly.
Thought about it.
I mean, he's Babe Ruth at the plate this year.
I'll tell you what, Bob Tree, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about him in my brain, but I wanted to leave that for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, gotcha.
Give me credit for Matt Boyd as well. I think he deserves a spot.
I'm with you on that one.
Matt Boyd, 4-2 with a 2.98 ERA. This could be a really fun pitching matchup tonight if they don't hit the hell out of the ball. Boyd against Hunter Green.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
On it. In 2024, Bears receiver DJ Moore led the team with 966 receiving yards. Veteran receiver Keenan Allen was second with 744 yards. Rookie receiver Roma Dunze was third with 734 yards. And tight end Cole Kmet was fourth with 474 yards. Which player on Chicago's current roster has a shot at matching Moore's level of production from last season?
Grody, we joked about this earlier in the show. We joked about it before the show. I think we all are waiting for the uptick in offensive production that Ben Johnson is supposed to bring. I think we're all grounded enough to know that it's not going to be 2024 Lions production. By the way, the Lions scored 68 offensive touchdowns during the regular season last year. The Bears have scored 68 offensive touchdowns the last two seasons combined.
Stop it.
So hopefully they can start to climb the ladder of being a offense that puts up really, really recognizable, eye-opening numbers. I think DJ Moore's got the potential to have that year. I also think Roman Dunze is a guy whose year two leap could be really significant. We heard earlier in the spring from Antoine Randall-El about just the way that Rome is eager to learn. Ben Johnson doubled down on that the other day and said, look, like his maturity level for a second-year guy, his ability to handle meetings and walkthroughs and apply teaching to the field is significant. And I got to tell you, there was at least two plays the other day at that OTA practice where Rome caught a pass and it just seemed like there was a little more burst to him. I don't know if he's worked on that at all. It's obviously the spring. You never want to overemphasize what you're seeing out there, but I think he could become a huge part of this offense very quickly.
That's my answer too. Roma Dunze for sure. And there is nobody for whom Ben Johnson had more enthusiasm. You're right. When we talked to him, I mean, these stories kind of got pushed to the back because of the headline. The headline is the headline. The game is the game. But he lit up when he was asked about Roma Dunze. I mean, I think that like when Ben Johnson came in, we know how much he loved Caleb Williams. I feel like Roma Dunze is one of those guys too that when he watched the tape of his from last year or even his college tape, he absolutely loves this guy. You know, one of the things too in conjunction with that is because a lot of people might want us to say, you know, Colston Loveland, Luther Burden. I'll tell you one thing that bothers the hell out of me, and when we were there the other day, and look, we knew it, and we knew that Colston Loveland wouldn't be practicing.
Yeah.
It bugs me so much when rookies begin the season.
Yeah, it's worrisome.
Oh, it's. I mean, we've seen it too many times. Last year, Karan Amagaji missed the offseason. Look what he looked like. He never had a season last year. We brought up this name, I think, on the podcast recently. Calvin's brother, Riley Ridley.
Right.
The former fourth-round pick. He goes out there, sprains his ankle in the first few days. That guy never, you know, got his footing, so to speak. And there are many other examples.
Tevin Jenkins
never really recovered. He became a guard.
And then I'll give you the one that always scares you, Kevin White. Right? Like, it was like,
yes.
Oh, Kevin's not doing so good. Oh, and then all of a sudden you're in August and you're like, oh, Kevin's got a stress fracture and he might miss his entire rookie season. Sweet.
Yeah, so like I'm staying away from those two guys. I'm worried about Colston Loveland. I'm worried about Luther Burden. Soft tissue issue for Burden. Yes, he did participate in the rookie minicamp, so it's not like he hasn't done anything, and it's not like they can't recover, but that is worrisome to me.
Just puts you behind a little bit.
It does.
All right, we're going to make history here on 5 on It because we're going to have our first ever snake draft here.
Oh, Bears.
On 5 on It.
Is so this all of us here for this?
All of us.
Okay.
So, oh, Mark Grody, you'll go first. Oh, Ray will go last. Okay. So, after Ray picks, then he goes again.
That's... How do you feel about that, Ray? You're last.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
You're
it's
last.
Right. I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm confident with my draft board is strong.
Your rhymes are on time.
That's
so
right.
So, let's see what we're drafting today. With it being Memorial Day weekend, we need to pick one of each to create the perfect Memorial Day cookout. And this cookout, we're going to say it's 78 and sunny and beautiful. You need to draft three things. Your first thing, the setting of your cookout. It could be the beach, the pool, lake house, whatever. The second thing you need to draft is one barbecue entree, one thing that you are going to get at the barbecue. And the third thing, you're drafting a side dish. So once again, you're drafting the setting, the barbecue entree, and the side. Mark Grody, you are on the clock.
Okay, so this is the setting, first of all.
It could go any order you want. What is the biggest on your big board?
All right. Biggest on my big board, ladies and gentlemen, is I keep it very simple, ladies and gentlemen. And I would even say this for my favorite food in life. Just a really, really good, juicy, medium rare burger with American cheese on it, little bit of ketchup, and a slice of raw, as my dad would say. That's onion. Just a good slice of raw on that burger. So that is the main barbecue entree for me. A burger.
That's a great 1-1. Dan, you're on the clock.
I'm thrilled that Grody left my 1-1 on the board. I'm going with ribs. This is what you do on Memorial Day. You have some ribs. I hope you're happy with the burger, but we are thrilled to have the ribs available to us at pick two.
How much for just one rib? Anybody know? Look that up. Somebody look that up. How much for just one rib?
Nah.
I'm devastated because you took my 1-1. You took my Ashton Gentry. Now I have to get Kyle Manungai in the seventh round.
Manungai.
My first round pick. This may be off the board, but I'm getting my guy. My setting, I'm going to be at a lake house. I'm going to be at the lake. I'm going to go to my friend's lake house.
I'm
on the lake. I have a big lawn. I got some beers next to me. Give me the lake house.
All right. I'm confident in my draft board, so I'm going to go entree because most of you guys already went entree. And for my entree, for my barbecue, I like a nice big plate of fish because it's my favorite dish. And
nice
I'm going to go.
Plate of fish.
That's right. I'm going to go with salmon, baby.
Okay.
Salmon.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, what do you put on that salmon, Ray? A little lemon up on that, some pepper.
That's
what,
right.
What do you get, anything
little
else?
Lemon, little pepper. Okay. You know, might do. You know, the spices. You got a couple of different choices here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, no, that I is, don't.
So
yeah,
you can't
okay.
really go wrong.
That is the second most controversial fish in this time slot this year.
Oh yeah,
true.
Fishy business.
What can you be talking about? Ray, yeah. You're back on the clock.
That's right. So let's see. I'm gonna go.
That's right.
That's all right. You guys left my, my setting is still there up for grabs because Robbie's the only one that went setting.
Man.
So I'm going with the beach.
The beach.
The beach is gonna be packed. All right. I need an entree. I'm going with the classic. Just give me a hot dog. I want a hot dog.
What do you put on that hot dog?
Mustard only.
Okay.
Oh, mustard only.
You don't have to pander, dude. It's okay.
No, I think if you put ketchup on it, that's like truly disgusting.
Okay. What about some relish?
Relish, I'm fine with.
But
mustard is the A1. Okay, give me a hot dog.
Okay, all right.
The only thing that makes sense with the ribs that I've already got on my plate is some potato salad.
So
good potato salad. Ribs and potato salad. I feel great about what I'm doing this weekend here right now.
And no funny stuff with the potato salad. You know what I'm saying? Like some like regular mayonnaise, right?
Yeah.
What else you put? Like just that's about it, right?
Like my family growing up, sometimes there'd be a hard-boiled egg or two.
Oh, no, that's good. That's real good.
Let's throw that in there, too.
Love that. My side dish, ready for this? Seafood salad from Jules. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody have that?
What?
It is so, it is unbelievable. You get three different containers. Get yourself the big container. Shout out to my brother, Brian of the Grody's.
From the Jules?
From the Jules. There is nothing better than that as a classic side dish.
That's a bust. That's a bust. That's bad locker room guy right there. Said seafood.
You guys don't even know. It's a generational deliciousness, though. You guys don't understand.
His window for greatness is so small. But once he's been in the sun for a little bit, like that is.
That was like the Adam Shaheen pick of this draft.
Oh, man. Former second round pick for the Bears.
Yes.
Baby Gronk.
He was like seafood salad at the tight end position.
What did Rob Gronkowski say when it was brought up to him that Adam Shaheen is being referred? He was like, who? He was like literally didn't know who he was, I think. Wasn't that the case? Something
probably.
Like that.
That should be the case.
Where are we right now?
Dan,
in this
you
draft?
Were on the clock.
Did you pick your setting?
The setting. I still didn't do the setting.
Yeah, it's a snake draft.
Just a classic deck. Just sitting out on the deck with a big yard and some trees, preferably weeping willows, perhaps, like a weeping willow, and just like a nice big glass of, what's that sparkling water that I like that I discovered?
Topo Chico. Yeah.
See, Dan and I finished each other's sentences now, too.
All right. This one's got a little personal touch to me here. For years, we celebrated the memorial of my wife's father at a golf course on Memorial Day weekend. We would play 18 holes of golf, and then we'd have a huge gathering with people eating. And so I'm gonna go greenside or beyond the 18th green at a golf course. We're gonna have the ribs and potato salad there, and we're gonna do it upright.
That's sick, dude. By the way, really quick, sorry, Bob Tree. There, the text at the top is hilarious. I hope that they're being serious right now. The 847 informs me there's no S in Jewel. I know.
Wait, what?
You're obviously not from here. There is clearly an S in Jewel. JEWELS.
I mean, it's the Jewel store.
Yes.
You know, the Jewel has ownership of the store.
That's right. So maybe that person just moved here. Maybe you don't know how we do here in Chicago.
Dan has the best board right now. I'm jealous of his board. He got
Thank you.
Wanted.
Wow. Maybe you two should host the podcast together.
My side dish, you know what? I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm going with a fruit. Give me a watermelon. Just some slices of watermelon. Yeah. Make sure, you know, quench my thirst. I love a good watermelon.
Okay.
It pairs with the hot dog well.
Yeah. All right.
My side is going to be arroz a la mexicana.
Uh-huh.
So that's some Spanish rice for you, you know, a little tomato, a little garlic, a little onion. And I'll double back to my seasoning for my fish. I've settled it because I was between adobo. I was between Old Bay. I'm going adobo. Goya.
Adobo Goya.
I like it.
That's a draft.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Do we have any more questions, or is that it? We're done?
That's your five.
Dunzo.
What would Alicia's draft board have looked like?
Oh, she was a very healthy eater. She was a very good cook, too. Wonderful.
Seafood salad?
I don't remember if I ever had presented her the seafood salad. I think that was reserved usually for my brother and I. We lived together for a while, and we'd bust out the grill, get a couple steaks out there, but we had to have a baked potato and that seafood salad right there.